Spiro Agnew was one of Maryland's most powerful politicians in the 1960s, serving as Baltimore County Executive and then as governor. He was Richard Nixon's running mate in 1968 and became vice president in 1969. But then came the fall. Agnew resigned as VP in 1973 in connection with bribery and extortion charges. WYPR's John Lee reports that Agnew's dubious place in American history was recently noted 700 miles away from his hometown in Baltimore.
Gerald Ford, the 38th president, owes his place in history to the fact that Spiro Agnew was a crook. With a lot of fanfare, the newly renovated Ford Presidential Museum reopened in Grand Rapids, Michigan last week. And you would have thought they would show the man from Maryland who made it all possible a little love. Not so much. The only nod he got from the podium that day was from former Vice President Dick Cheney.
Because of the 25th Amendment to the Constitution, President Ford had served briefly as Vice President when Agnew resigned.
Right. President Nixon picked Ford to replace Agnew. Ford then became president after Nixon, also a crook, also resigned. Cheney served as Ford's chief of staff. So did former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who was also at the event. Afterwards, I caught up with Rumsfeld to ask him a few questions.
About the event, I take it?
Sort of. What about Agnew?
Certainly when President Ford came in, it brought a different tone and tenor to the vice presidency.
You wouldn't be here if that hadn't happened.
That's right. Good to see you.
Once inside the museum, Agnew does get mentioned, albeit briefly. He's kind of shoved to the side next to a much bigger display about the Watergate scandal. Okay, that seems fair. That is what made Ford president, after all. Maureen Tucker of Grand Rapids was checking out the display that explained Agnew's fall from grace. She says she remembers the scandal.
And the shock that there was so much before he became vice president, what he had done.
What Agnew did was plead no contest in 1973 to tax evasion charges in exchange for resigning and staying out of prison. A civil suit in 1981 found that Agnew had taken nearly $150,000 in bribes while serving as Baltimore County executive and governor. He got his final payoffs in envelopes when he was vice president. So, when it came time to replace Agnew, Nixon, who was having his own troubles with Watergate, turned to the squeaky clean Eagle Scout Gerald Ford, who at the time was the House Minority Leader. Donald Holloway is the Ford Museum's curator.
They sent over 400 FBI agents out across the United States to investigate the vice presidential nominee, Gerald Ford, and they came back with nothing.
Ford and Agnew are linked by history, but Holloway says there is no evidence that they really knew each other. Holloway says that's not surprising, since they took very different paths to Washington. And there's also no evidence that once he became vice president, that Ford reached out to his predecessor.
Had he said, set up some meeting to say, let's talk with the vice president about how he conducted himself as vice president to inform myself about how I might do that. Well, even then, you know, the press is going to misconstrue that. Others are going to misconstrue that as some sort of collaboration.
In other words, Ford wasn't going to touch Agnew with a 10-foot pole. So, here's a what-if for you. What if Agnew had kept his nose clean in Maryland? He well could have become president when Nixon resigned in 1974, and we then would have the Spiro T. Agnew Presidential Museum, perhaps at the Inner Harbor or near his boyhood home in Forest Park. But instead, it's in Ford's hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan, where he's remembered as an honest man who always tried to do what was right. I'm John Lee reporting for 88.1 WIPR.